flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, it's three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schler of the Vasinga Truth Podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to Stinking Truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottie along with Charlie Long in studio. 5:45 will be our triple option feature. Steve Geller will join us then at 5:20. Mark Schlereff, our Odyssey NFL insider, will join us to talk about Saints coaching search and certainly the playoffs. At 6:30 tonight, you'll have a choice. At WWL, will carry the pregame of the Pelicans versus the Chicago Bulls. At 7 o'clock, it'll be tip-off. Todd Graffanini with the call there. You can listen to more sports talk on 105.3, and Steve Geller will take over. He'll have on with him Jake Madison at 6:30 tonight and Jeff Nowak, our Saints sideline reporter, to talk Saints at 7:20 tonight. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy, I thought about you when I saw the news Sharif Eichek broke about Blake Dean. And I know you've brought this up over the last few months about the money crunch happening at UNO. And I think certainly that played a big part in Blake walking away.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I don't blame him. You know, it's a Save UNO campaign. There's a lot of alumni listening right now, Mike and Charlie. And I'm an alum, graduate school alum. I'm a Southern Miss undergrad. But, you know, there's so many UNO fans listening around New Orleans, all through the state, that went to UNO, but they don't attend games. They don't give back. There's no football program. So, yeah, they wear an LSU shirt because, you know, there's a big – it's fun. You know, hey, my wife went to LSU. It's fun to go to Tiger Stadium. More fun than maybe a UNO basketball game or definitely a Southern Miss football game. You know, but that being said, we need to be cognizant of the fact that UNO is having a major budget crunch. They've lost a lot of enrollment post-Katrina that really haven't gotten back. A lot of people moved to New Orleans East, Gentilly, along the lake, and this and that 20 years since Katrina, Mike, and they're not from here. So they have no ties to UNO. And so the alumni need to step up. Blake has to do what's best for his family. But the writing's on the wall. UNO needs help. I mean, even if it comes down to just coming and supporting UNO basketball as we get into the season, it's important. But I want to get your take. Look, I'm fine with Aaron Glenn as an option. You know, Mike McCarthy to me, you know, I do want a younger guy who's got to cut his teeth. But, you know, it goes back to what I asked you last week, Mike and Charlie, the desirability of the job. You know, when Sean Payton came here, there was none, but he needed to prove himself, right? So he drove through post-Katrina and said, okay, let's do this. Everything fell into place. Reggie Bush, Mario Williams goes to Texans. They get Drew Brees thanks to Nick Saban, okay? But now, it comes down, Mike, wouldn't you say, to quarterback? Because, look, the Bears are kind of a mess, but then you got Caleb Williams. And, you know, I know the jury's out on Derek Carr, and in some ways maybe – he is what he is because he's been – there's not a jury out. He is what he is. He's not going to change. He is who he is. So what's the – it comes back to the desirability of this job and who wants to be here. You know, Mike McCarthy's made a lot of money. He's been here before. But I think Aaron Glenn has a lot to prove, and I tend to lean in that direction if I had to say in the matter. But how much does the quarterback play into – the head coach's decision on where to go?
I think it's always going to – would be, if I was a head coach, it would be something I looked at. But you know what I want to look at first? Ownership.
Yep.
How much control and working ability will I have with the general manager on this team? Now, Mickey didn't touch upon this yesterday, and he sort of, soft soaped it about that, you know, this team has a lot of good young talent. That's not accurate. This football team, look at players that you can say who's 27 years of age and younger, who for sure could start on every team. Eric McCoy could. He could start at either center or guard for any team in the NFL. Taliase Fuaga, you got something there. Hey, you got something there. First time he's ever played left tackle in his life. And look how well he played that left tackle position. Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, you see some talent there. Now, again, coming off of injury, but you see you got some skill set with both of them. On the defensive side, the football, Brian Bursay is exactly what scouting report said. He can rush the quarterback, but he's got trouble playing the run. He comes out of the stance too high. This has come down to a personnel issue. You don't have a core group of young talent that you can say, we're going to build around those guys. You got some, I think they'll work out. But, you know, for sure, you got one guy. That's McCoy. Now, Fuaga would be the 1.5, because I think that guy, if he stays healthy, you have really got something at that left tackle spot. But you look across the defensive front, I mean, you got some age now settling in to all your top players. If it's Cam, if it's Tyrann Mathieu, DeMario Davis, three core players for your football team. And for the times, undefeated and untied for a reason. He catch you one way or another. So I think that's the thing. If I was a coach, I'm looking at, I want to see the ownership and how they're going to support me in a working relationship with the number two person, a working relationship with my GM. And I take a look at some of these other teams, the Jets, they don't even have a GM. I look at Trent Baalke. Okay, what kind of resume he got? With the Raiders, they looking for a GM too. Now, their plus is they got Tom Brady. He's going to have some cachet if he sits in a room with you and interviews you. The Bears, yes. Jimmy, you brought up a point, and I'd agree. Roster-wise, Bears got a better roster than the Saints. If you look at it, 1 through 53, have a better roster and a really talented young quarterback. But look at the management of that team, and it's been a cluster, you know what, across the board with it. And so I think all of us sort of, because we cover the team, are looking at it. But if you go outside this region, man, they look at the Saints job a lot more coveted than maybe what we do here.
So here's the thing about the young core talent, Mike. When we talk about Aaron Glenn, it's like you've said for weeks now at this point that he's going to have his pick between the Saints and the Jets job.
Yep.
The Saints, I think, have the advantage with ownership because I think Woody Johnson's one of the worst owners in the entire NFL.
Mr. Khan in Jacksonville?
No, but I'm just sticking with these two. If you're talking about the young talent, yeah, that, which is where the Saints have an issue, that is the pro for the Jets. They don't have the young quarterback like the Bears do, like the Saints lack as well. But you have like Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall, Sauce Gardner in the secondary on the defensive side. They have some good young offensive tackle talent with Olu Fashanu. Like, they have some strong pieces in place. Some, like, the core young group of talent that we're talking about how the Saints lack, the Jets have that, but they don't have the ownership. So there's like the pros and cons that you're juggling. If you're Aaron Glenn, yes, you have ties to both places, New York and New Orleans. It's going to be up to you which kind of situation you prefer and how you kind of outweigh the pros and cons of each kind of spot.
And you're never going to satisfy everybody, okay, when you make a coaching pick. Man, I did this 2006. They hired Sean Payton. I would say 85 to 90% of the calls, they didn't like it. We should have hired Maurice Carthon. He was the offensive coordinator with the Cleveland Browns. Or Mike Sherman. And that was the guy Tom Benson wanted to hire as the head coach because he had a head coaching experience with the Packers. It was Mickey Loomis who picked Sean Payton into that deal. But you're never going to satisfy everybody when you look at it across the board.
Nope.
No matter who you're going to hire, that's going to be there. But it comes down to one thing. Man, and I got coaches in my family, I'll tell you the same thing. Good players make you a lot smarter coach. So you got to upgrade the roster here. from a personnel standpoint. That is what is lacked with this team over the past couple years. When we come back, we'll have on with us Mark Schlereff, Odyssey NFL insider, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. We'll go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line, and we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, you're welcome, man. It's always good to be with you guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. Mark, right off the bat, nothing surprised you in the cowboy world, but, you know, Mike McCarthy, Bobby and I were doing the show last week, and, you know, it came out that, you know, they had denied him permission to talk to the Bears, and so we're just talking about it off the air. That must mean that, you know, they got something going, maybe a longer-term deal with Mike and Jerry Jones, and then yesterday, you know, kind of cutting it all loose, and now man, Jerry's going to enjoy this. He might have a couple weeks in the limelight where, man, all that light's going to be shined on him and the Cowboys. But your thoughts on Mike McCarthy as a coach? Because I mean, you've covered this game a long time, and he's coached a long time as a head coach with both the Packers and the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a lot of success, you know, and ultimately, he's a damn good coach. And, you know, for the Cowboys, 5 years, he's 49 and 35 or something like that. I mean, he had three back-to-back-to-back seasons, three in a row of winning 12 games. Dak Prescott played a year ago at an MVP level, lost out the MVP at the end of the season. So, you know, you look at all the success, the accomplishments and all those things, and you say that the guy's a damn good coach. And, you know, and winning games anytime is difficult, but Jerry's just a piece of work now. I mean, you 30 years since their last championship. And as long as Jerry continues to do Jerry things, it doesn't matter who you get as a coach, you're just not going to win with the Dallas Cowboys. You know, you can sit there and say, man, they got money and they got all the accolades and they're the Dallas Cowboys and there's America's team. And, you know, I do a daily television show and you got to talk about the Cowboys and all that stuff is true, man. It's all 100% true. You got to. But the bottom line is Jerry will never empower his head coach. He will never empower the guy. Therefore, they will never win championships because their organizational structure is so screwed up. And, you know, I've told you guys this before. Somebody within the New Orleans organization told me, years ago when I was doing a game out there that the problem with the New Orleans Saints is Sean Payton left and the fear left right out of the building with him. And that's part of the problem with the Dallas Cowboys. You don't the head coach because the head coach isn't empowered.
That is a lot true. I'll be honest with you, Mark. I think the one thing, Sean, like him or dislike him, man, he put the fear of God in you. You know, and he was going to challenge you every step of the way. Didn't matter if you were a star player or you the 53rd guy. He was going to challenge you. And, man, Mark Ingram's got some great stories about, you know, him and Sean Payton. Now, he fumbled the ball one time. Boy, and Sean really got on him, but good. Last night I thought about this. When you watch the Rams play in Minnesota, basically what Chris Shula did was steal the exact same game plan that Aaron Glenn drew up in Detroit. Get after Sam Darnold. He's not going anywhere. Put a lot of pressure on him. And at their offensive line, if they had Darisaw, it would be different at the left tackle, but they don't. And, boy, you saw them really get after it. And it took away the piece that had been kind of hidden, their ability to run the football. I know you and I have talked about this so many times. Look who's still standing. The Rams, underrated for what they can do running the football. You look at Philly. Does any team run it better? You know, you look at Detroit, their offensive line, their ability to run the football and control the clock. Now, one of the things with the Commanders, you got to throw Jaden Daniels in the fact that, you know, he's part of the running group too. You know, you can't take that off the board. I know this is kind of repeating things, but I really believe that part of the game has to be there for you to get to the big show. You got to run the football, and you got to stop the run. It's the nuts and bolts of how football was built, but it still stands today, no matter how all the other periphery stuff change.
Yeah, listen, man, you're preaching the choir. Let me just tell you, you know what travels? Physicality travels. You will always be in a game when you can physically whoop your opponent. And, you know, the Eagles, I mean, they didn't throw the ball exceptionally well. They were stagnant on the offensive side of the ball. But guess what? Defensively, they set the tone, man. They were knocking dudes out. So, I mean, that always travels. That always works. That will always be the right answer. When you have physicality, you can win football games. And, you know, from a game planning standpoint, adjustments and understanding what you're up against. Look what the Rams did. Man, the Rams had answers for their quarterback every time they dropped back. Whether they booted him out and they threw a touchdown to Kyron Williams, whether they, you know, had the deep curls, you know, when they were running curl flat combinations and a mirror route combination, whether they had, you know, a 5-man blitz, they had it picked up, a 6-man blitz, they had it picked up. If they brought an extra dude, a 7-man guy, like the ball was out quickly. They had an answer. When they brought a blitzer, they had somebody that vacated, that ran around into that vacated spot. They had answers. And Minnesota had a straight drop back game where they were deep drops and deep route combinations that they could, that weren't getting open where they were holding the ball. And you look at that from a coaching standpoint, and the mentor in Sean McVay took the mentee, the student, to school last night. I mean, just absolutely took him to school and out-coached, you know, Kevin O'Connell in a big way. And, you know, Sam Darnold, unfortunately, looked like garbage and didn't play well. But a lot of that goes to coaching. I always say this, man. You give up 7, 8, 9 sacks in a game, yeah, your quarterback struggled. And, yeah, your offensive line struggled. But the guy in charge, the guy who called those plays to me, is the guy who struggled the most. Like, that is on coaching. You give up 9 sacks, and your coaching sucked that particular night.
Our Insider Calls with Mark Schlereff are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Charlie?
Mark, looking ahead to the divisional round, the Bills and the Ravens, I think, is what everyone's most excited for. And talking about the run game that Mike had brought up earlier, I mean, the Bills and the Ravens both ran over the teams that they played in the wild card round. Buffalo going for 210 rushing yards against Denver. But the attempts is also something that I wanted to highlight. 44 rushing attempts for the Bills. We always talk with you about this, Mark, that, you know, you have to want to run the football. You have to just stay true to it, even if it's not working early on. 44 rushing attempts for the Bills, 210 yards. James Cook was excellent in that game against Denver. The Ravens, against their AFC North rival, their hated rival, Pittsburgh Steelers, a very proud franchise, ran the ball 50 times in that game for 299 yards. And the only reason it wasn't 300, Mark, Lamar Jackson kneeled at the end of the game for minus 1 yard. These two teams love to run the football. They know what wins in, you know, January. And I know that Kansas City's sitting on the other side. They're going to be playing Houston in the divisional round. But, man, I can't wait for this Bills-Ravens matchup.
I can't either. I think it's going to be great. And, you know, ultimately, I think if the Ravens are able to stay true to what they are and who they are, then I don't think there's anybody in the league that can beat them. That running game is so damn good. They are so physical. They've got a 310-pound fullback that used to play, you know, defensive line. They're big. They're physical. They got a 380-pound guard. I mean, they lean on people. And the interesting part of this matchup to me is the Bills play more dime and nickel personnel than anybody on the planet. And they did it against the Broncos. And you go back to that Broncos game, and the lack of understanding, the lack of an ability to create big-time runs by the Denver Broncos was, dare I say, flat-out embarrassing. Like, I kept thinking back to my time and thinking back to Mike Shanahan. And if somebody tried to play us in small personnel, in nickel or dime, with an extra DB and took a linebacker out, and we're in two tight formations, or we're in 21 personnel, two backs and one tight end, and they try to play us that way, Mike Shanahan would have turned 18 shades of red, and he'd have been cussing on the sideline. Like, the level of disrespect these blankety blanks think they can line up in nickel or line up in dime. And, I mean, he'd go, oh, we're going to shove it up their ass. You know, I mean, that's like, and I'm watching the Broncos going, boy, you guys are getting what you want, and they can't run it 2 inches.
Nope.
And it's embarrassing. It's sad. And then I hear people talk about analytics like, well, the win percentage on blocks by ESPN analytics said, or so-and-so analytics said, that the Broncos, man, I don't want to hear that garbage. Who's grading that? How do you determine, some dude on the internet determines whether that guy won the block or not? You don't even know what the freaking assignment is. Stop it. You can miss me with that crap.
One of the things, Mark, Saturday in the first game that really surprised me, Bobby and I kind of texting one another, was the physicality of the Houston Texans. They didn't finish the season like that. They sort of limped into the playoffs. Man, did they take it to Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers. And you talked about knockouts. Man, it was a knockout punch by the Texans defensively. And what it meant to bring Joe Mixon to the lineup for them on offense. That C.J. Stroud, he made a few plays with his legs, and he made a few downfield plays. But, man, Joe Mixon, and he's playing behind a lousy offensive line and gaining that yardage. But it was the Texans' defense that really took it to San Diego and basically beat them at their own game.
They certainly did. I mean, I did not – that was the one game I had wrong, because I thought that the Chargers would lean on them. You know, when they got the ball down there and they only scored, you know, they scored 6 points right off the bat on two field goals, but they couldn't punch it in the end zone. But that gave the Texans a lot of confidence. And then just Will Anderson on one edge, Danielle Hunter on the other edge, they just absolutely defensively crushed the Chargers. And ultimately, you know, you look at the lack of weapons, and I know this is the first year in a new system and all that stuff, but hey, listen, man, I love McConkey. I think he's a great player, but that dude shouldn't be getting 14 targets a game. Sorry. Like, you need some other weapons. And then you got two tight ends that are playing, you know, one's a defensive lineman, one plays defensive lineman, defensive line for you. The other guy is a former defensive lineman in Fisk. So if Fisk is 285 and the other dude, Matlock, is 310, and, like, there's not a whole lot of threat of throwing the football when those two guys are your tight end. So they need some more weapons for the quarterback. And listen, man, you know, everybody's bagging on Justin Herbert. If Justin Herbert is an outstanding young quarterback, there is no question. And you know what? You go back through the annals of history, Peyton Manning used to get eviscerated come playoff time because his playoff record was so bad. But they're going to continue to grow. That offense will continue to grow. They'll get more weapons on that offense. They're going to be a formidable opponent come the following years. But that was a physical butt whipping, man. It was, and for me, I hate being wrong, but I enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed the way the Texans played, so kudos to them.
Five of the six games this past weekend, Mark, were blowouts, but the one great game, Sunday Night Football, and the local flavor, everyone down here is rooting for Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. And also kind of the spice added to it that Washington, I mean, I didn't even realize this until it happened. Their playoff win against Tampa Bay on Sunday was the first time since 2006, the 2005 postseason. It was January 7th, 2006 was the last time that they had won a playoff game, funny enough, also in Tampa Bay. So Washington and Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn as well, the way that they're kind of ahead of schedule, I think everything from here on out is gravy for them. And look, they're going to Detroit, and it's the best team in the NFC. You know, maybe they get blown out, but at the same time, the hope that Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn have brought to Washington's franchise, it's been very fun to see.
Yeah, no question about it. It's been awesome. And Jaden Daniels, I mean, is incredible. And you know, you think about where he sits right now as a rookie quarterback. or they're just saying, hey, man, go win this game for us. And then Dan Quinn, like, you know, it irritates me when I get, you know, my co-hosts and everybody else is like, oh, you got to get yourself a young offensive, you know, coordinator, somebody in their 30s, somebody can relate to today's players. Give me a freaking break. You need to communicate and relate to your players, and you're either authentic or you're not. And Dan Quinn is one of the most authentic, most relatable, most connected dudes I know, and he will also fire you in a heartbeat if you don't adhere to the principles that he's preaching. If you're not part of the organization, if you're not totally sold out for what we're doing, he'll cut you in a heartbeat. And then think about this. A defensive coach, normally a defensive coach's default mechanism is to protect my defense. Got to protect my defense at all costs. What does Dan Quinn do? Nope. My young quarterback is the best player on my team. And guess what? I'm going to let that dude play. I'm going to lean on that guy. 5 fourth downs, let's go for all 5 of them. Hey, put my defense out there in the ringer. I know my defense is going to struggle. We're just going to outscore people. Like Dan Quinn, by the way, you know, Dallas Cowboys are looking for a head coach right now. Remember when Dan Quinn was their defense coordinator and we're in 12 games a year? Oh, interesting. So do I, Jerry. I digress. Dan Quinn is in his 50s and is one of the most relatable, one of the most connected coaches in football. So be careful about just going after that. Oh, the guy's a genius. He's a young offensive stud coordinator. He's young. He'll relate to players. The age has nothing to do with your relatability and how connected you can be to your players.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always love to have you on and your insights, buddy. Take care. And, man, listen, I get to watch you every morning, so it's good. Working at nights, that's a plus to that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, my friend. Take care of yourself.
All righty.
Thanks, Mark.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. We come back, triple option feature. Myself, along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, it's our triple option feature. Steve Geller, Charlie Long, myself. Steve, you first.
Well, gentlemen, the NFL put out today their NFL Rookie of the Year finalists. And what do you know? Out of the 6, 3 are LSU Tigers. And we saw
Shocking.
We saw Jaden Daniels was one of them, lighting it up. It was Sunday night and a big playoff victory there. But you also have Brock Bowers, the tight end from the Raiders, the running back Bucky Irving from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Bo Nix, quarterback of the Denver Broncos, and then the two other LSU Tigers, of course, wide receivers, and Malik Nabers from the G-Men, and Brian Thomas Jr. from the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, we think about LSU and considering the success that they've had under head coach Brian Kelly, or lack thereof, but man, oh man, they are still pumping out top-tier NFL talent. This year, like I said, 3 of the top 6 NFL rookies, all from the purple and gold.
Yeah, that's why, think about it, over the last 7 years, Louisiana and Mississippi, other than 1 year, I think Alabama got in the mix, per capita, they have finished either first or second 6 out of the last 7 years. And look at all the wide receiver talent. Oh, my Lord.
Unbelievable, right?
So you can see why they're in the mix. And, man,
used to be DBU. Now it's wide receiver.
I ain't no DBU no more. It is WRU. Charlie?
Guys, I'm going with a stat. We talked earlier, Mike, about this. Sam Darnold in that game against, you know, L.A. last night. Jay Cutta had this on Twitter. Sam Darnold became the 25th quarterback in NFL history to throw a pick, fumble, and get sacked at least 9 times in one game. He's the first to do it since Daniel Jones in 2023 and joins Warren Moon as the only quarterback to do it in the playoffs. And teams are just 1-24 when their quarterback does that. And so Sam Darnold, he's catching a lot of heat from Vikings folks. I mean, they went 14-2 with him. They were staring at the 1 seed, and then they get blown out by Detroit and then blown out by LA in back-to-back weeks with, as you mentioned, Mike, a very similar game plan used to kind of neutralize what he can do offensively. So Yes, they have J.J. McCarthy sitting there, but I'm with you, Mike. I think that Sam Darnold goes back to Minnesota for at least the next year on a franchise tag. If not, maybe even they do hand him that long-term extension, even with these two performances.
I don't know about the long-term, but I think the extension to me with the franchise tag for 1 year is going to be the route to go.
Makes too much sense.
Yeah, because you're not paying J.J. McCarthy nothing. Now, Daniel Jones might be odd man out with this particular spot, but then he's going to have to go find another place to be a backup. Guys, Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes is just one playoff win away from tying Joe Montana for the second most wins in NFL history. Mahomes has only played 7 seasons. Montana played 16. Man, just think the ride Mahomes is on. He is one playoff win away from tying Joe Montana for the second most in NFL history. And he played 7, Montana 16. Goes to show you what you're looking at. You watching greatness in front of your very eyes. So, hey, soak it in. Because there's not going to be a lot of Patrick Mahomes, unless you're really young in life, that you'll be able to say that I saw in my lifetime. That's how good this guy is. We'll be back with more. Second guess?
Sports
talk. Second guess? All that, sometimes it gets kind of crowded in my head. More sports talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number 2 of sports talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettay along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. Let's go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Big Cheesy. Big Cheesy, what's happening, my man?
Good to talk to y'all guys, man. Good to talk to you.
Same
how you
here.
Doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm all right, man. I got 2 questions. I got a question for you, but 2 players. I want you to talk about the Georgia safety. I think his name is
Malachi Starks.
Malachi Starks.
And how he would be a good fit for us at 9, and the tight end from Penn State.
Oh, Tyler Warren.
Oh my God.
Man, I make a scheme to fit both of them.
Tyler Warren's a weapon, and Starks is a weapon on defense.
Malachi Starks, he's the number 1 rated safety, and it ain't even close. And I think he'll probably be rated as a top 10 player. Do you pick a safety with a top 10 pick? I do think he'll be a top 12 pick in this draft. But, man, he's instinctive. He comes up the field in a flash. He plays the pass really well. Former wide receiver in high school. So he'll be a top 12 pick in the draft. But he'll fit any scheme because he can run and he plays the run well. Tyler Warren, man, he's something special. A big target tight end who's played running back, fullback, tight end, played on special teams, has been a deep snapper. He's a former quarterback in high school. I think he'll be a top 17 pick in the draft, but he is a real weapon. If you watch the coach years back, Dallas Clark, who was one of Peyton Manning's favorite targets, that would be my comp to Tyler Warren. Both guys, I think, will go in the top 17 picks. Big Cheesy, thanks for the call. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.